hold on, who are now you can go now.
The parsha begins with Moshe Rabbeinu lecturing the nation regarding various incidents and the lessons learned over the course of their journey through the desert, essentially giving them mussar regarding the various misdeeds that occurred along the way. So Moshe Feinstein points out and asks that many or most of the wrongdoers who were party to these misdeeds were no longer remaining when Moshe Rabbeinu was delivering this message of rebuke. And furthermore, we find that by many of these incidents, the perpetrators were punished almost immediately. Being that most of the nation had passed on and it was the next generation who were being zeicha to enter the land, if so, then why is Moshe chastising them about misdeeds that weren't their own? We often hear, for example, about a fellow we know who made a major misstep, whether in business, personal life, and we're usually very quick to judge. The wrongdoing notwithstanding, yet we must question ourselves, are we really putting the scenario in its proper perspective? Think and realize the exact predicament this person found himself in and the choices he needed to make when he made this bad choice. Do we recognize what actions we would take if we would be in their position? So Moshe explains that although most of the people standing before Moshe, in fact, were not party to the various incidents which occurred in the Midbar, nevertheless, the root causes of those mistakes and the underlying deficiencies were still very, very much relevant. Those deficiencies, whether they were deficiencies in Emunah, B'tachin, Yir Shemayim, whatever it may have been, were still there, and perhaps still are prevalent to this very day. Thus, this rebuke from Moshe Rabbeinu before the nation entered the land, and essentially any rebuke, is not merely about the past. It's all about the future, to help us strengthen ourselves and say, look, look at all the destruction, look at the broken Eitzim V'Avonim, ashen wood and broken stones, and helps us contemplate what went wrong and contemplate as to how we can bring about the brighter future that awaits us. The Gemara says that any generation in which the temple is not rebuilt in its days is as if it was destroyed in their days. And the Mefarshim explained this to mean, as we're explaining that, although perhaps in actuality we haven't carried out those sins, but the underlying fundamental issues still exist and are still prevalent. And we need to rectify and reattain those levels in order to bring the Beis HaMikdash. We find a little later in the parak that Moshe Rabbeinu says regarding the Meraglim, Gam bi is anaf Hashem b'glalchem, that God struck me as well because of this sin. So the Arachayim HaKadosh asks that we don't seem to find that Moshe Rabbeinu received a punishment for the sin of the Meraglim. The sin of the Meraglim pertained only to them and to Klal Yisrael, but not to Moshe Rabbeinu personally. So why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu received a punishment? So the Arachayim brings a famous Medrash in Eicha on the Pasuk of Ayivku Ha'am Balayla Ahu, that the nation cried on the night in which the Meraglim returned with their bad reports. Hashem proclaimed that since they cried for no reason, a b'chiyah shalchinam, a cry for naught, based on these false reports of the Meraglim, I shall establish this as a b'chiyah l'deiris. I will establish this as a day of mourning for generations, and that night became the night of Tisha B'Av, on which the Mikdash were destroyed, and many tragedies befell Klal Yisrael throughout the generation. So says the Arachayim, that had Moshe been able to enter the land and be the one to build the temple, a temple built by such a great man as Moshe Rabbeinu would have been indestructible. Yet Hashem foresaw at the time that the sin of the Meraglim came about that Klal Yisrael was holding at a madragan at a point where it may be further down the line that he will need to destroy the Mikdash. And thus, Hashem did not want Moshe Rabbeinu to enter the land to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash, for then he would have been unable to destroy it. And we say, a song by Asaf, foreign nations have invaded your temple. And the question is, why are we saying it as a song? It should be Kinel Asaf. Why are we saying a song? This is not a positive occurrence. So the Medrash explains that this in fact was a mizbar. It was a song. Because we are thanking Hashem that although he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and brought about such terrible churban, he only took his wrath against Eitzim V'Avonim, against wood and stones of the Holy Temple, and did not destroy us as his holy nation. Thus Hashem had to disallow Moshe from entering the land and build the temple in order that he should be able to destroy it in the event that punishment was in order. Thus, in fact, says the Archaim, is how the sin of the Meraglim prevented Moshe from being able to enter the land. On the topic of the Meraglim, we find that the Meraglim came back in the reporting that they felt quite minuscule, standing near the people of Canaan, stating that we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in their eyes. So shouldn't the pasuk read the opposite? That since we were like grasshoppers in their eyes, because we saw them looking at us like grasshoppers, then we felt inadequate as a result. The pasuk seems to be stating it in the reverse. So Rav Mordechai Shapiro explains that no. These feelings started only because the Meraglim felt inadequate inside and didn't recognize their position as a superpower with Hashem beside them, ready to fight with them in Eretz Canaan. Since they felt this sort of insignificance and their self-image was poor, so they automatically said this attributed to the nations. They must certainly share the same view and look at us as being unable to fight them, and we will be unable to win them in the wars. Thus, the Meraglim are missing in the recognition of who we are as a chosen nation. They're missing the Am HaNivchar pride. We say, Eichi Yashav Adad, Ir Rabasi Yom, Rabasi Bagoyim, Sorry Ba'amadina, Tzai Salamas. And the Ebenezer explains, what does it mean, Rabasi Bagoyim, great among the nations? It doesn't refer to the great, just the numbers, it refers to the greatness of Klal Yisrael, which was destroyed. Yerushalayim was renowned, even amongst the rest of the world, as the greatest city in the universe, with the Beis HaMikdash, with the Sanhedrin, and the nation of the Mikdash, Klal Yisrael, was renowned as the greatest among the nations. Yet perhaps it was this very lack of recognition of who we are, the pride in what we are privileged to, that was the first step to losing the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shapiro explains that at times this lack of pride prevents us from being comfortable with our Jewishness. We must realize that more often than not, it is our own self-image of looking at ourselves like grasshoppers rather than the non-Jews' true opinion of us. Respect and admiration for our culture and morals is actually quite the norm. Rabbi Shapiro brings a story of a well-positioned individual in banking who was called in to receive a promotion to head a department at the bank. However, this put this individual in a position where he was concerned that he would be unable to carry out his responsibilities properly due to being a Shabbos observer. So at first he thought of giving some sort of excuse, but then he decided to be upfront and unapologetic with the CEO, and he explained that he was a firm Jew and his concerns about Shabbos. So the CEO was so impressed with him, and he replied that a principled person with such moral conscience would be willing to give up a once-in-a-lifetime position just for the sake of his religion is exactly what a banking firm needs. We need to be Rabbosi Bagayim. We need to recognize more of our uniqueness and of our greatness. As the Tana Debei Eliyahu writes, a wise person should agonize over the disgraced honor of Hashem and that of the nation of Klal Yisrael and eagerly await for the return of the honor of Yerushalayim. The disgrace to the honor of Klal Yisrael is part of what we mourn on Tisha B'Av, and that's part of what we mourn regarding the Churban. And the Mesillas Yesharim writes in Perek Yates that if one will question himself as to what can I do, what's the worthiness of my prayers for the rebuilding of the temple and our efforts to bring the Geula? How can I, as one individual, have the possibility of having any sort of impact in bringing back Yerushalayim? It says in Mesillas Yesharim that it's for this reason that each man was created individually. Fikach nivra ad michidi, so that a person should be able to say, Bishvili nivra olam. It is for my sake that the world was created, and I can make a difference, I can have an impact. We said earlier that our Chaim HaKadosh says that the reason Moshe did not enter the land was because Hashem did not want him to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. This seems to contradict what we find elsewhere, that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to enter the land is because he committed the sin of hitting the rock instead of speaking to it. And then it was decreed that Moshe would be unable to enter the land. So how does this stem with what the Archaim wants to explain? That the issue was that the Rebbeinu Shlomo did not want him to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the Archaim explains that had Moshe Rabbeinu spoken to the rock and caused the tremendous Kiddush Hashem, by speaking to the rock instead of hitting it, that would have had such a tremendous impression on Klal Yisrael. To the extent, it would have inspired Klal Yisrael to such tremendous heights that Hashem would have realized that he never would have had to come to a point where the Beis HaMikdash would have had to been destroyed. Every small positive action that we take to inspire ourselves, to better ourselves, to perfect ourselves, does and always has tremendous impact and a ripple effect on our families, our friends, and all the people around us in our societies. Mirtz Hashem, everyone should have an easy fast, a meaningful fast, and merit that this be the last Tisha B'Av as a day of mourning. Shabbos.